B-Pod Studios.
Pompey from Inquirer.com. Good morning, Keith.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Great, Keith.
Yeah, we're doing all right there, my friend. I got to say, raised eyebrows, your tweet. Now, here's the thing. When I see a headline, I often say to myself, well, you know what? The writer didn't write that headline. The editor wrote that headline. But then I saw your tweet, Keith, and your tweet was that it seems as if it's Mike D'Antoni's job to lose. Do you still feel like that's the case now a few days after your report came out?
I mean, I do. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Like, initially, I had a source call me, you know, because we were all talking about Ty Lue. Everyone was saying, you know, we all thought it was going to be Ty Lue, and you're getting that based off the information. And one day, a guy called me and said, no, it's D'Antoni. And I'm like, come on, man, you got to be joking. Like, you know what I mean? And I kept going back at him, right? And he's like, no. And then next thing you know, I had another guy said the same thing. And these are two people who I really respect. But, you know, I do think it's his job to lose. And here's my reasoning. Okay. I think that when you think back, and I believe Bob was on the beat at this time, too. You know, it was one of those things when Mike D'Antoni came in. He was Brett Brown's associate head coach. And he did some things that really impressed the ownership and impressed a lot of people. And I think that they're looking at it as if, like, hey, you know, he was supposed to be the coach in waiting, but he took the Houston Rockets job. And let's right now, he's a guy we're familiar with. We know what he can do. As much as the Sixers say they want to get away from analytics, they are still like an analytic team in regards to shooting three-pointers and stuff like that. And you look at Mike and you say, maybe he is the guy that we need to get. Now, again, he'll have to go through the interview process just like everyone else. But I think that, you know, when people say it's, oh, well, we don't have a leading candidate and stuff like that, they're lying to you. You know what I mean? Everyone has a pick and someone that they want.
Yeah, I think they in any type of breakup, there's always an idea of like, oh, maybe this person would be better for the job. So, with Mike D'Antoni coming from a team that is really quick and great from the outside, and then going to the Sixers, you know, maybe if it happens, to a team that's big, sometimes oafy, not very quick at all, and does not shoot from the outside, how does he make that work?
It's tough, man. I mean, because, like, here's the thing. Like, when we look at the Sixers last year, we say a team that doesn't shoot from the outside. You know, I think the star doesn't shoot from the outside. But if you looked at it, there was a lot of games afterwards where we kept saying, or people kept saying, dang, why did they take so many threes? Why did they shoot 33s? You know, and it just seems like that's what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? So I disagree with the point when we say they don't shoot from the outside. It's just that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot from the outside. And I think the main problem is, you know, when you think about it, is Joel Embiid. Like, does he fit the mold? And I don't think that he fits the mold. But again, that's up to D'Antoni to sell that how he can incorporate Embiid and what he can do. If you're asking me, do I think it's a perfect fit? I would probably say no. But at the same time, I don't know what his plans are. You know, I just don't know. But if you ask me just by looking at that Houston Rockets team, I would say no, it's not a perfect fit.
Mm. Keith, when Brett Brown did get fired, Elton Brand talked about surrounding himself with basketball people and you know, getting a more of a look at the game through that. That hasn't happened yet. Is Elton Brand solely the one doing this coaching search, or is the ownership group having a bigger hand in it than maybe they should?
You know, it's weird. Like, it's, you know, because my sources are saying that this is the guy the ownership wants. You know what I mean? So, with that being said, you would think that they do have maybe a big hand in it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to assume that. You know, so yeah, I would have to go with you that way. You know what I mean? I don't have 100% you know, proof like how much input they have, but the fact that they like D'Antoni, you know, that has to say that they do have major input.
Do you have someone that if you're sitting in there as part of, if Elton Brand reached out to you or Josh Harris and said, hey, you know, who should we look at? Is there one guy that really does stand out from the pack?
You know, here's my thing. Like, when you look at the candidates, like, a lot of people like Nate McMillan, right? A lot of people right. talk about Nate McMillan being a great coach. But the problem is like, the guys in Indiana, they just started, like, they were fed up with him. Like, they didn't like him.
Yeah.
He's a disciplinarian. And so a lot of times when you have a team like the 76ers where everyone says, you know, you got Joel Embiid, you got to bring in a disciplinarian, you got to get a guy to shake it up. Well, a lot of times that doesn't work out because Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have so much power to where they can get that guy out of there. I think that it has to be someone you respect. And I think, and I know some people aren't really high on him. They keep talking about LeBron and it's next.
Yes.
But I think from a player standpoint, you know, Ty Lue won 2 championships. He won a championship in Cleveland. And he's young enough for these guys to remember his career. I think that he might be the best fit for the team.
Mm.
You know, just because of, you know, he's a likable guy and he's a guy that they will respect because he's a champion. I mean, let's think about it. He is the only coaching candidate out there that won an NBA title.
Right.
And I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that looks more at LeBron than I do for Ty Lue. So I am not at all on the Ty Lue bandwagon there.
But can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Here's my thing. Like, and this is crazy. Like, this is my thing.
No, I get you. Go ahead.
A lot of people, when they look at Ty Lue, they say, well, it was LeBron James. But they don't say Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, all these other people. When they talk about the Golden State Warriors coach, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's like a double standard when it comes down to him. Like, let's talk about Billy Donovan. You know, like, you know, a lot of people, a year ago, people were saying Billy Donovan was about to get fired. Then he gets Chris Paul, who's a second team All-NBA, a coach on the floor, and then he becomes one of the top coaching candidates around. So when people say that, sometimes I take a little step back, like, okay, so you're giving LeBron the credit, but then you're giving Steve Kerr some credit. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, well, first off, Steve Kerr is not available, and I don't know if I would want Steve Kerr given the talent that he has had there, but when I look at Ty Lue, I look at LeBron James making a lot of those decisions and a guy that really takes them to the next level. Billy Donovan, at least, I know, has coached many different teams and has at least taken them to the playoffs throughout his career.
Yeah, but my man took the team to 3 straight NBA titles and got it and has a ring. So, I mean, that's what it is. But here's my thing. If you say that about Ty Lue, you got to say that about everyone, dude, not just the people available, because the whole thing goes for everyone. You know what I mean? That's how it is. It goes for everyone.
Keith, the names that have been thrown out, I think, are 4 or 5 of them that have been juggled around and that we've talked about. What are the chances in your mind that there's a possibility that they go with a name that none of us has really mentioned yet, that maybe, the Mike Budenholzer types, the Brett Brown types back in the day, guys that you say, wow, I got to look up, who's this guy? Is there any possibility they do that?
I mean, there's a chance, but I also think that, you're talking about a guy who was an assistant coach, you know, at a championship caliber type of team and came in. I mean, there is a chance, but I think that in this position that the Sixers are in, I think that they need someone who they feel like is proven, you know, someone who is a head coach and someone who will demand the respect. Because at this particular time, now again, there is a chance. But at this particular time, you know, they need someone that's going to be able to get them deep in the playoffs. You know, not just someone who, you know what I mean? Someone that they can, okay, we'll give him a couple years. We'll see what he can do. You know, does that make sense to you, Bob?
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you.
So you had mentioned in your article, though, speaking with Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com, about Mike D'Antoni possibly sitting down as early as yesterday. If that didn't happen, do you know when that could still take place?
I mean, I heard in the coming days.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I still struggle with the idea of a guy who has been up-tempo really throughout his career, and it wasn't just with the Houston Rockets, who he was with most recently, obviously, but it was also with the Suns, and he had Steve Nash as an MVP, and we know what happened there. Is there something that... Is there a reason why you think he has fallen short in a guy that's coached, 20 years in the NBA? Is there one thing you can look at with his game plan that would lead you to believe why he has fallen short and never coached in the finals?
Because a lot of because the NBA in the playoffs is typically a half court game. And so that's, I mean, I know he loves analytics and gets out there, he scores a lot of points, but it's kind of hard to keep up that tempo, you know, when everyone's slowing up. And I think that has a lot to it, do with it. Secondly, his teams weren't really good in on the defensive end. Mm. So, like, you know, it's also half court game. You can't make any stops. And I think that, you know, it's great to look at and everything, but in order for him to be successful, I think, like, his lead assistant may have to be a very defensive-minded coach. But those two things, like, the playoffs are half court and then defense. You need great defense to win playoff games, too.
I just want to throw you a name. It's just one name I want to throw you that it falls more in the Bob category of maybe somebody who doesn't get talked about enough. Juwan Howard. Played recently enough, same thing as Tyronn Lue as far as a guy that has played recent. They know his career. Obviously, the championships aren't there like they were for Lue, but also studied under Spoelstra, has been a head coach at least at the college level. Any interest there, you think?
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, like, here's again, that's another name, and Marcus Hayes, you know, one of my colleagues, you know, he speaks very highly of him, and that's the guy he wants them to hire. But, you know, my thing is, it's just like, you know, are do the Sixers, like, right about now, you have to be 100% sure that a Juwan Howard is going to be the guy that can get you to a championship and win it. Because if not, they're going to get criticized for giving a guy a chance, and he's not going to be able to get it done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's just my thing. You don't want, like, a Eddie Jordan situation all over again. You know, so, you know, a guy who's a great assistant, you know, everyone raves over him, and then all of a sudden, you know, you give them this job, and then they can't get it done. I mean, this team, right now, we talk about it, they have all these guys under contract, all this money. They say they're built for a championship, built for the playoffs. They struggled. I think that when you go out and you fire Brett Brown and you get a coach, you can't gamble on the person that you're getting. You have to be 100% sure that he's going to be the one that can get it done. Because let's face it, if, you know, Elton Brand seems like he's safe right now, you know, but if you go out there and you get someone and they struggle, well, then you're not safe anymore. You understand? So you got to be 100% sure.
Keith, obviously all the talk has gone to who the next head coach might be, but there are some flaws in this roster buildup, as we all know, and there's not a lot of wiggle room that they have with the contracts. What do you see, and I'm not looking for specific names, but how do you see them trying to build this roster better surrounding the guys that have to stay here with their contracts?
You know, it's weird. Like, let's just say, for instance, like, If I had a choice, and, well, you know, a lot of people are talking about Tobias Harris' contract. A lot of people are talking about Al Horford's contract. And you would think that, you know, both of them are going to be extremely hard to move. But, you know, if there was one that you say, okay, I got to move, and I'm going to try my darndest to move, I think it would be Al's. You know what I mean? Try to get him out of there. Because let's face it, you know, right now he's a backup. You know, he's a backup if everyone's healthy. So I think I would get rid of him, try to get rid of him, but you would have to give up a pick and then just try to see how everything else works out. Now, again, you're going to take in some people, and maybe I may try to get another ball handler, somebody who can help, you know, help Ben out. And then, you know, you got to surround a team around shooters. Because a lot of people forget, Bobby, and you remember like 2 years ago, you know, when they had Ersan, they had Robert Covington, they had JJ, they had Marco Bellinelli. No one talked about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons couldn't fit. The problem was the team didn't have any defensive starters, but outside of Covington. But no one said these two guys couldn't play together. So to me, I think you got to go out there and get a ball handler, an additional ball handler. And you have to try to surround these two stars with shooters. That's the main thing that they have to try to do.
All right, Keith, I really appreciate you coming on with us and talking about this whole coaching search. I know we'll talk to you again about it, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that it happens sooner rather than later, my man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.